Hi, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
And we are Working Class Nerds.
We're the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is Thursday, May 17th, 2018. You can find our podcast on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, and Stitcher.
If you like listening to us banter, or even if you don't, leave us a review. You can say anything you want in the review as long as it has 5 stars. You can even tell us to go eat shit and die. As long as it has 5 stars, say whatever you want. If you're looking to express yourself to the podcast world, you can do that by leaving us a review as long as it has 5 stars. Say whatever you want, as long as it has 5 stars in the review. And if we get any particularly funny or interesting reviews, we'll read them at the beginning of the next episode. So, this week we have a guest that needs no introduction. He's the host of State of the Old Republic podcast, Ted. I know it's been a month or so in the works, but we finally made it happen. Thanks for coming to the show, Ted. And tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing in the game.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me. It is a truly pleasure to be here on your podcast. Now, I have to admit, I'm a little bit behind in listening to your episodes. I have listened to episode 11, and I am currently listening to episode 12, by the way. So I'm covered there.
Great. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
You're listening to it live.
I am listening to it live.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, so my name is Ted. For the listeners that don't know, I do a weekly Star Wars The Old Republic podcast, as you get the name right, State of the Old Republic, and it's just a weekly podcast where it's me sitting in a dark room talking to myself about this awesome game called Star Wars The Old Republic. So it's so nice to be on a show where I can talk about the game with other people, with other live humans.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm excited that you're on here to talk about the game because a lot of times when we talk about the game, Nick just looks at me with, you know, cross eyes.
And a blank stare.
And we've been trying to get him to play.
I'm working on it.
Well, you should play. You know, it's free. I mean, you can actually do it for free. All you have to do is just, you know, a little bit of time to download the game and create an account. That's about the
extent. Well, so yeah. Here's the backstory. I mean, obviously, Marcus has been trying to get me to play for a long time. But I've had, you know, school and a bunch of other stuff. So now that I have more free time, this week, you know, the past 2 days, I was going to download it and play, but then we lost power and our Wi-Fi was just out for, we lost power and so it was out because of the power loss. But then even after that, for the next day and a half or so, the Wi-Fi was just terrible. I kept doing speed tests and it was like 0.25 megabits per second download, which is just horrendous, obviously. It should be like 60.
That's basically dial-up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I could get more with some tinfoil from the airways or something.
Sure. So, Ted, what have you been doing in-game?
So, a couple of things. I know you've been listening to the show. So, one of these things I started, I don't know, it seems like forever. I'm doing this story project, and there was sort of a lull where there wasn't much happening in the game, and I was just sitting there thinking one day, you know, these class stories, and there's the 8 classes, each have their own story, but they're really all part of one giant story. At least that's the way they were initially created. So I began to wonder, if there's like an actual sort of chronological order in which you maybe not should play them, but could play them, right? And what kinds of overlap between the different stories are there? So I sat out to start researching this a little bit. And there's actually, I'm obviously not the first person that you know, has asked this question. But the information I found out initially was just sort of scattered all over the internet. The SWTOR subreddit had several threads, and there was just bits and pieces. So I started compiling all that and actually found one really good post that someone did, I think, in 2017 on the official forums, which I've been sort of using now as a basis for playing through them. It was actually a pretty good guide. And so that's what the main thing I'm focusing on right now is just playing all 8 classes' stories at once and going through the planet and trying to do it in this sort of chronological order and seeing if there is a chronological order. But it's tedious. I've never played the game like that before, and it is taking quite a while to get through it. But I will get through it. I'm just about to start Act 2 of each of the class stories.
Have you played all 8 classes?
Oh yeah, I've played all 8 classes before. I have like 37. Characters in this game right now, so I've played each story multiple times now, and surprisingly enough, I still enjoy them. That's how good some of those stories are, that I actually enjoy going back and playing them. It's like watching a good movie over and again, or reading a good book. So I'm not really bored with these stories. And there's a lot of different choices you can make.
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah. Well, I know there are a lot of different choices you can make. And I do this all the time. Like, you know what? All right, I'm going to create this character. And this time, I'm going to go all dark side or I'm going to go all light side. And then I get to that moment of truth. I ended up making the same decisions that I've made every other time. It's ridiculous. I can't make myself do something completely different.
Sure. Now, do you prefer the Imperial side or the Imp side? I mean, the Republic side with your characters.
Oh, I like both. But if I had to choose one, I'm very Imperial biased. So I'm not afraid to say that. Yes, I do. I definitely have an Imperial bias. And when I talk about these classes, I usually reference like the Imperial side before I reference the pub side. Sure. Just because, you know, there's 8 different classes, but there are mirror classes between the Empire and the Republic. So, for example, the Bounty Hunter is the mirror of the which one is it? The Republic Trooper. So they're basically the same. They're the same class. They have the same overall rotation and mechanics, if you will.
Sure. Awesome. You been doing anything else fun? Do you do ops or anything?
It's been a while since I've really run some ops. Like, I haven't completed the latest one, the Valley from the Gods from the Machine. I've only done like the first 3 bosses there, so I'm way behind in getting that done.
Well, you so. Definitely have to come with us one night.
Oh, I'd love to. But I've done all the other operations at one point in time, at least in story mode. I'm not really, definitely not a master mode ops person. Like, I have no interest in running those things to the hardest. And I do the occasional veteran mode with the earlier stuff like Eternity Vault and Karaga's Palace. Those are pretty easy to smash down in veteran mode.
Well, in one of your past episodes, I remember you were talking about how you were crushing through the master mode flashpoint. I mean, master mode chapters. I try to do them and I just die. I can't even do them.
Okay, so yeah, I guess I should qualify that because I haven't really tried many of the Master Mode chapters, which is sort of interesting. I've done 2 Master Mode chapters, which was chapters 1 and 2 of Knights of the Fallen Empire, which were the first 2 chapters of those stories. Right. And it's funny you should mention this because I was doing Conquest last week, and one of the Conquest objectives was to replay, I think it was chapter 7 maybe, of Knights of the Eternal Throne. This was where you go to Nathema. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go do this for Conquest. And you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do this in veteran mode because I haven't done it in veteran mode. And I just got my ass handed to me on the first boss there. I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, you know, I could probably figure this out in a few hours, but I don't have time for that. So I kicked it down to story mode.
Sure.
And just to get my... just to get through it. But I thought, wow, this is veteran mode. I expected to, I'm in 248 gear, a companion that's influence level 50. I really expected to kind of cruise through it in veteran mode. And then I would go back and maybe do master mode a try, but now I'm rethinking this whole thing. So, yeah.
So my last question would be, what is your favorite content in the game?
Ooh, my favorite content. Well, you know, I'm going to say, I'll probably give you a couple answers here because one, story first and foremost. If I had to choose one activity to do, I always enjoy the story, but I think everybody enjoys the story. I think that's that initial draw. I think that's what draws a lot of people into it. So to say that, you know, to look at things and say, oh, is that the most played content in the game? Probably, because it's almost impossible to do anything without playing the story. So after that, it's operations. I like running operations.
Well, then you definitely have to come with us.
Yeah.
I was just telling Nick and Ari that I played so much this week. I'm just exhausted, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But well, I'm glad you're on the show, man.
Well, I'm glad to be here. This is fun.
Welcome. Thank you. So, Marcus, what have you been up to this week?
Well, this week was kind of crazy. I was on 2 podcasts this week. Hootunicast and the Star Wars The Old Republic Escape podcast with Max and Seema. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to just talk about the game that I love so much. I swear, anytime anybody says, hey, Marcus, what do you think of Star Wars The Old Republic or what game do you play? I feel like it's a 20-minute conversation every time.
Yeah, sure.
I feel blessed, man. So I really enjoyed that. On the Hootunicast, we just covered the news, talked about the games with Chill and Tio, and then with the Escape podcast with Max and Seema. We did the Umbara Flashpoint, which is set on a train, Nick. and the train is floating around a planet, and
kind of like the rings of the planet.
No, just like picture, like, you know what Stargate is?
Yeah.
All right, like that ring, but imagine giant rings and a train is floating through the whole thing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we ran that in Dent, former guest.
Yeah.
He was in it, and we talked about ops, and because him and I are ops leaders in the AIE Guild. So we were – it was actually really fun. And so we did that.
It didn't go well.
Well, no, it went well, but it was kind of over so late, man. And getting up at 5:30 in the morning every day and then being
going to bed at 1.
I feel like once, and I'm sure Ted can understand, once that thing, the clock clicks past midnight, I'm just like, now it's like a countdown to when you have to wake up for work.
Right.
Versus like up until midnight, you're like, oh, I still got plenty of time. As soon as it hits midnight, now you're like, oh, now I'm just losing sleep.
Right, right.
I'm totally with you there. I don't have to get up at 5:30 in the morning, but yeah, once the clock gets past midnight, you feel like you're just like burning your sleep time there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in work news, I've been building some dining room tables, coffee bars, and a bunch of bathroom vanities. Really, I've been full gung ho in my Death Star shop. I demoed it for a kitchen. It's being sheetrocked right now, so we're gonna get going on that.
Nice. The kitchen or your shop?
A kitchen. Project.
Okay.
Yeah. I should have been a little more clear.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's why I have you.
Well, I certainly try.
So other than that, I finished the Anathema Conspiracy with Game White Update 5.9. I'm going full spoiler here. I thought it was fucking great. I enjoyed it. The second boss was this crazy dog that shot like missiles at you. Like, picture a dog spinning on its side. You know when, like, you see the videos of a dog on a hardwood floor and the people are spinning the dog and he's spinning on the floor?
Yeah.
That's what the dog does, and it's shooting guns at you. The first time I did it.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. So the first time I did it, well, as Ted was saying earlier, he put it on veteran mode thinking, won't be bad.
Yeah.
Well.
You did the same thing? Not veteran
mode? No, I was on story mode and I just died because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Because I was too amazed that the dog was spinning in a circle. I was kind of lost in this dog spinning. And
sure.
So anyway, I finished the whole story. I thought it was a great way to end the whole campaign. I don't even, Ted, how would you explain the end? Would you say it's the end of a campaign or just the end of this storyline?
Yeah, I would say it was the end of this storyline, and not just the Iokath traitor storyline, but really the whole Knights of the Fallen Empire, Knights of the Eternal Throne. That whole story, and I mean, you can even take it a step further. And you know, it was all initially, well, the whole premise was set up with Knights of the Old Republic way back in 2003, but this particular storyline was really started with Knights of the Fallen Empire and Knights of the Eternal Throne, and it just put a cap on that whole thing. And brought it to a very nice, fitting conclusion. And now we're ready to move on to whatever that next thing is, which is kind of a mystery at this point. And they haven't really teased it so much, which is good. I didn't feel like it was a cliffhanger ending, but it was just more that sense of, okay, now we're ready to go on the next adventure, whatever that is, because we just know there has to be a next adventure with these things.
Oh, I agree. I enjoyed it, and my favorite part is, so one of my companions, Nick, once you play this game, you're going to meet Lana. And
Lana? Like Lana from Archer?
Lana! Yeah, kind of. But, yeah. No.
Not at all.
No, she's a Sith, and she's sexy as shit. Anyways, I asked her to marry me.
Wow.
Yeah, so
Sounds like things are progressing fast. Did she say yes or no?
Oh, yeah, she said yes. Come on. That's awesome. So she's marrying Julia B.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I finished that. That was great. I'm really curious to see how the game moves forward. I'm staying tuned, but I'm hoping that they say the words Darth Malgus. And I've said that name millions of times, but Darth Malgus. You hear that, BioWare? Darth Malgus.
Who are you kidding? BioWare's definitely not listening.
Well, of course, but I can only hope, right?
We have ways of letting him know, and I'm sure it's not like they haven't heard Darth Malgus like from pretty much everyone else who's probably played the game at this point over the years.
Sure. I mean, you know. I don't even play the game and I know Darth Malgus.
Yeah. Well, because I have a statue in my case in my office.
Right.
So other than that, I did Conquest for the first time this week. So before you guys have heard me talk about it on the show that, fuck that, I don't do it, fuck that. Well, a couple guildies of mine they were talking about it so much, and I talked about it on the Escape podcast, so I won't get into it too much. One of my friends, Zen, and you've talked about him on your podcast, Ted. It was late night. We finished an op. It's like midnight. He's like, hey, I've got those 246 augments I made you. And I was like, oh, you do? Thanks so much. He goes, yeah, meet me over here on the fleet. So I go over there, and he's in like the darkest corner next to these people. And he's like, hey, what are your companions' specs for their crafting? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, well, are they this? No. Change it to this. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So then I change these three specs. And then he's like, okay, here's a bunch of materials. You need to do this, this, and this. So I do it. And then I make these things. And then he goes, okay, now you have to make this. So you have to repeat this a few times, and you need to make these things every day for the next week. So I did, and I hit my first conquest goal, my personal target. And then I was close, so then a couple other guildies, Rack Evan and Bishop, future guests, they'll they dragged me through, and we killed a bunch of things. Something else to note is Rack Evan gave me two 240 augments. He said it's because he has a Wookiee life debt to me, but we won't get into that tonight. Also, on my ops teams, let's see. Last Sunday was Mother's Day, so we took Death Star troopers took the night off because I believe that everybody should hang out with their wives,
sure,
or their moms on that day. And I have a daughter and I have a wife, so
yeah,
I kind of have
prior obligations before, right?
Yeah. So it was great. It was nice to have a night off. And then yesterday with my sub team, which was Wednesday, we had a new healer, Mal, join the team because another member couldn't be there. So we did the first two bosses from the Gods from the Machine, and then we went back to Eevee and finished it. Boomba. That's all I got to say. I love Eevee. We don't do it enough. Also, the last thing I want to mention is Brian from the Bad Feeling podcast put out a call to get some help for his guild, and I filled the role. So now I'm doing Fun Feeling Mondays with Marcus for his guild. So basically it's an open group event every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. We're going to just do fun stuff in the game. Whether if we get 16 people, we'll, you know, do a 60-man op. If we get 8, maybe we break up into two groups and do some flashpoints, whatever it is. It's basically just to help them get some guild
activities.
Yeah. So
people doing things together.
Yeah. So I'm super pumped for that. And yeah, other than that, in SOTOR news, we had game update 5.9a come out last week. But who gives a shit about that? Because today we got the summer roadmap.
Wait, do you want to go over that now or after the break?
No, after. That's way too much to talk about, Nick. I've got way too much to say about that, and I'm sure Ted is foaming at the bit.
Oh yeah, it was great. It was just a huge surprise here. I was not expecting this today.
He's not only chomping at the bit or foaming at the mouth. He's foaming at the bit.
Foaming at the bit, exactly.
So, Nick, I know school is out. So, have you been sleeping all day and doing nothing? Or have you been sleeping all day working? Or have you been playing a lot of games?
Can I pencil in E, all the above?
All right, perfect.
So, yeah, as Mark has alluded, school's out. So, I've been picking up extra shifts at the hospital now that I'm out of school. And it's typically, you know, it's crazy like it always is. Little fun fact that I learned today about the hospital is apparently I work in the emergency department. Apparently our emergency department is the busiest in the entire East Coast.
What?
The whole East Coast.
How is that even possible?
From Maine down to Florida. So I'm about to explain. So most major, you'd think, you know, we live around Springfield. The hospital's in Springfield, but which is not a very big city compared to the whole fucking East Coast.
Obviously. I'm thinking like New York City's business.
No, completely. But New York, Boston, Baltimore, whatever, all the big cities have several big emergency departments. What were you going to say?
Please don't ever refer to Baltimore.
As a big city?
No, as Baltimore. It's Bodymore.
Bodymore? Yeah, that place is scary.
Yeah, it is.
People think Springfield's scary. Anyways, so what it is, you know, most of those major cities have multiple hospitals that people can go to. Whereas around here, we're the only place. You know
well, I mean? There's another one.
Where? What?
I don't know. Mercy?
Yeah. Besides, well, I work at Bay State. It's no secret. Whatever. Well, yes, we work at Bay State, but Mercy's, I don't know if they have a level one trauma center.
I don't even know what that means.
Right. So we're, it's like the highest acuity.
I have level one gas, but you know, come on.
Well, anywho, we get all the crazy hurt and sick people, but we're like basically the only spot to send people if you got a helicopter or mid, or just we're the one spot for all of Western Mass and Northern Connecticut, because there's hospitals in Hartford, but that's, you know, almost an hour away. If there's traffic, forget about it. So all of Northern Connecticut and all of Western Mass has to send their people who are really sick to Bay State. So long story short, we get a lot of people, and that's where I work.
Wait a minute.
What?
Five? Oh, wait. The busiest on the East Coast, this little city.
Yeah.
Busiest on the East Coast.
Yeah, 100%.
How many doctors work at one time in the year?
Oh, a shitload. Per pod, there's probably like 10. Holy and shit. We have five pods. There's A pod, B pod, C pod, D pod, and they go down in, you know, levels of acuity. And acuity just means like how super duper sick the people are. So like A pod has like people are about to die, basically. Or, you know, and obviously we're working on that not happening, but that's the level we're talking about generally. And then B, C, blah, blah, blah. It gets lower and lower. And then D pod is like, you're like, maybe should not even be there. You know what I mean? Like maybe you broke your elbow or something.
Or you got the flu.
Yeah, you got the flu. You're fine. You're going to be fine. Whatever. Just give you some antibiotics or, you know, a cast and get the fuck out.
Sure.
So E and then E pod. We have also an E pod, which is behavioral health, like, really,
crazy people.
Yeah.
That's where I would go.
Right. It's like a you know, fully locked down unit.
Oh, that's definitely my type
of
place.
It's for really, you know, severely psychologically disturbed folks.
Sure.
And then we have a pediatric section too. That's a whole 25 beds also. So it's a giant place, and we get a ton of people. Like in one day, yesterday we saw 400 patients in and out. Either they got discharged or up into the rest of the hospital.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's completely nuts. So that's where I work. I do patient transport. We're shipping people around. I just thought that was a fun fact. I knew we were busy all the time, but I didn't realize like how crazy that was. So in gaming news, I exercised another divine beast out of the clutches of Calamity Ganon. I'm talking about In Breath of the Wild.
That's the Zelda game for the Switch.
Right. So
who got you a Switch?
Mariana. Shout out to the best girlfriend of the whole world. What up?
I'm sorry, I had to do it.
That was baited.
Wait, hey, so I forgot to ask a question.
Yeah.
So I know she graduated.
Yep. But
and she's in her master's.
Yep.
And her birthday's coming.
Yep.
Did you get the cruise tickets?
Oh my God, just throw me right under the bus. No, I did not.
Oh, are we recording?
Oops.
Oops, we're recording.
Well, anyways, so that means there's these big beasts that are essentially dungeons and stuff. In this particular one, talking about the divine beast that I exercised, so to speak, and they got taken over by Ganon. So this one was called Naboris, which it's just a big camel, basically. Naboris is causing like a big sandstorm that's preventing traders and people from getting into Gerudo Town. The Gerudo are this mostly women race of desert people, and if you've played other Zelda games, you know that Ganon takes the form of a male Gerudo. So I conquered that divine beast that was, you know, causing havoc to that town and those people. It's basically just, you know, a bunch of puzzles and then a big boss fight at the end.
How do you figure out the puzzles?
There's like clues. Like this one, it was electricity themed. So it was a big giant camel that you're inside of. You can go in and out of it. Similar to the elephant from the other one I talked about last episode. And you can move pieces of it. So there's three rotating circles on the inside, and then in the middle of the circle, it's just going to be tough to visualize by just audio, but there's different platforms that I can walk on, and I have to turn it so that I can navigate my way through. So like if I turn one circle, I turn the next one, you know, 90 degrees or 180 or whatever, it'll let me have paths to different sections.
Yeah, so basically you're cutting off the electricity so you can walk through.
Yeah, and like if I turn it on in some spots, it'll open like a door, and then I can get this terminal. And then you solve a bunch of puzzles, and then basically at the end, you fight a boss. And the boss is called Thunderblight Ganon. And it was hard as fuck. This guy's wicked fast. The only way to attack him is you have to parry his attacks. So I want to visualize it. He's like a blob monster with a sword and a shield, but he moves like the Flash. But it's like he like zips and just blurred motion, attack. And if you don't parry his attack, you get hit no matter what. Even if you have your shield up and block it, he has like these electric weapons. So they hit you, and even if you block it, you still get hurt for like 5 hearts, which is a lot, because I only have 11 at the time. And it sucks. So you have to parry it, which is time this backflip right when he's about to attack you. Then you can do what's called a flurry strike. So it's like you do this backflip right as he's about to attack you. Time slows down, and then you can hit him a bunch of times. That's the only way you can do damage.
How long did it take to beat him?
Like an hour, because I kept dying. I suck at this. But so I finally beat him. You have to parry him every single time because he's basically a 2-hit kill. And then, you know, I finally beat him. I beat the dungeon. You get a heart container, which gives you an extra heart. So now I have 12 total. La-di-da. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Now, having 12 total is significant because in order to get the Master Sword, which if you've played any other Zelda games, it's the best sword of the game, best weapon in the game. That's what your Link's...
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that's Link's yeah. weapon is the Master Sword. But you need 13 hearts total to get it. So in order to have 13 hearts, you need to have like actual heart containers and increase your max health. You can temporarily increase your max health by eating certain stuff or potions like I talked about before. But that doesn't count. It has to be your base stat.
How many is max?
I think max is 30.
Oh, you got a long way to go.
Yeah, but it's that. So in order to do that, in order to get hearts, normally what you do is you find shrines, which I talked about a little bit before. They're like sort of mini dungeons that solve a puzzle. And you get what's called a spirit orb, and then you can trade in 4 spirit orbs for a heart container. Do you follow me so far?
Yeah, so I watched Frieza use 4 spirit bombs and Goku still beat him. Sorry.
That was awesome. I don't think we've ever... Have we talked about Dragon Ball Z ever on here?
No.
I don't
sorry.
Know yet.
No, I just okay. hear spirit orb and I think spirit bomb.
Yeah, me too. So the spirit orbs, you trade in for heart containers, but there's 120 shrines in the whole game, so I've gotten like 40. So I'm a third way through, which is pretty good, but that's, I still have a shitload to go, obviously. So I have 12 hearts total after beating this boss. And then just like in other Zelda games, the Master Sword is in the Lost Woods, which is just a woods. It's like, it's amazing. This game, there's, I won't get into it too much. Go play it. But this game combines the Lost Woods with the Korok people, which is like the Great Deku Tree. If you've ever played any other games, this big giant talking tree and little like tree people.
I remember the talking tree from Lord of the Rings.
It's not the same tree. Those are ants.
All right.
But long story short, the Korok people are chilling, which are little tree dudes. They're chilling in the middle of the Lost Woods, and that's where the Master Sword is. So you go there, and I tried to pull the Master Sword out and died because I didn't have enough hearts. Because when you pull the Master Sword out, it's like a test of your strength, and it takes away heart as you're pulling, health as you're pulling it out. And if you don't have enough, you die. So it's like in the in-game lore is like it's preventing people who aren't Link from pulling it out of the stone, basically.
It's basically telling you if you're not ready, you can't have it.
Yeah, you can't. It's like, and then also, you know, mechanics-wise, it's a way to keep you from just going there and getting it right.
Because that's what I would do.
Yeah, me too. If I could have gotten it earlier, I would have.
There would have been no chance I wouldn't have.
Right. So I go there, I only have 12. I'm like, fuck, I die. And then I explore around a little bit, and I talk to somebody, and I find out I can do these 3 trials. And the trials lead you to shrines, and there happens to be 4 of them right in that area. So I go to the 4 shrines, I get the 4 spirit orbs, which means, boom, I can get another heart container. I do. It's like 1 in the morning. This is 2 nights ago. I'm like, fuck, I got to just finish this. I finish it. I warp someplace else, cash in the spirit orbs, get the heart container, warp back, and then I pull the Master Sword out, and it's epic.
Wait a minute. After all that, I got the Master Sword.
Well, dude, I got the Master Sword. It was fucking awesome.
Well, it's about time. I'm going to give you a high five. All right. Master Sword. Yeah.
So, obviously, it's you know, that's important lore-wise because that's Link's sword. That's, you know, the one ring to rule them all from one of the rings, whatever. But it's game mechanic-wise, in this game, it does not break. So, remember, all the other weapons break eventually. So, the Master Sword, even if it will break, quote-unquote, but it comes back in 10 minutes of real time. So you always have the Master Sword no matter what.
Right.
And if you use it against monsters, it gains power. So like its base stat is 30 hit points or whatever. And then what if you use it against like evil things, it's 60, which is way higher. It doubles. And it never breaks. So it's like the most badass sword ever.
Obviously, now you don't need another weapon.
Right. Yeah, or I need like one other in case it breaks, and then I can use it for 10 minutes, and then I'm good to go.
How far are you in the game?
Probably like halfway-ish to...
Well, yeah, if you have 13 hearts and there's 30.
And there's 30, so I'm about halfway through.
But I bet you can beat it with like 20.
Yeah, I don't need to. Hearts. I don't need to get all the hearts to beat it. You got to get all four divine beasts done. Excuse me. And then you can go attack the castle and get Ganon out of there and blah, blah, blah. But that's basically it for me. That was pretty epic. Getting the Master Sword and conquering that divine beast was huge.
But, well, I'm glad you got all that done. I just want to hear about this cruise you guys are going to go on.
All right. Enough of the cruise stuff. I need a break. Let's take a break.
All right. Sounds good.
And we're back.
So we're going to discuss the summer roadmap that we got today. We may be, Ted and Nick, the first podcast to cover this topic today, right now. May 17th, 2018.
Breaking news exclusive.
Breaking news. Whoa, 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 whoa.
This just in. So here's the message from Keith. It says, "Hi, everyone. This roadmap coincides with my first full year as lead producer for Star Wars The Old Republic, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to share our summer roadmap with you. As I've mentioned throughout the last year, the team's priority will continue to be providing fun, story-driven gameplay with a variety of multiplayer Star Wars battles while making quality of life improvements. We've recently released Game Update 5.9, The Nathemus Conspiracy, which brought an end to the traitor storyline. We hope you've enjoyed your interactions with Theron Shan. Okay. Sorry for my mispronunciation. We've met a lot of players, influencers, press, did live streams, held cantinas, and received lots of emails and private messages, reviewed the feedback on our forums and on social media. As a result, we'll be making a lot of changes based on your feedback, beginning with our PvP plans this summer. At the end of the year, we'll introduce an exciting new storyline and multiplayer gameplay, all leading to an explosive conflict with new characters to meet and planets to explore in the new year."
Wow. So, this was a complete surprise to all of us. You know, they were saying that they had a roadmap, but they never told us when. And I'll tell you, I prefer it this way. I think it's a job well done. I think when you tell people, hey, something's coming May 10th, and it doesn't come May 10th, people get mad because they look forward to that. But I think when they say, hey, yeah, it's coming. It's coming. For all we know, this could have came out April 30th, and we didn't know. So today we get it. Surprise!
Right.
Here's your roadmap.
Yeah, it's better to not say anything and then just surprise than say a date and have to delay it. Yeah.
So, Ted, real quick, before we dive into what they say, do you think that they did a good job this year with Star Wars The Old Republic?
It's interesting. I said this on my podcast last week, it sort of feels like a down year compared to what we got in 2017. Now it's not fair to compare, you know, 3 or 5 months of 1 year with a whole 12 months of an entire year of what they delivered in 2017, especially since a lot of the content, that really good stuff they gave us in 2017, came at the end of the year. But I thought 2017 ended on such a strong note that I don't want to say that the updates have felt like a letdown going into this year, but they just hasn't felt as strong. I mean, they've actually delivered more major updates. We've gotten 5.7, 5.8, and now 5.9. So they've given us three major updates, whereas at this time last year, we'd only gotten two major updates, and they were spread, one in January and I believe one in the end of March. But as I said in that show, it's kind of about beginnings versus endings. And so last year, things felt like they were just sort of getting started. Keith was new as a producer. They introduced a brand new operation. The storyline that on Iocath was just beginning, and now here we are a year later, and all of that's ending. All of it's getting wrapped up. We're done with the operation. It's no longer new and fresh, and the storyline just completed. So I just sort of feel like it feels like we're kind of done with Knights of the Eternal Throne, and that's, you know, that expansion's been out, you know, over a year now. So I think we're ready to move on and do something else. So I guess the short answer is, yeah, I think they've actually delivered us some pretty decent stuff. They've given us some returning companions. The Anathema Conspiracy was fantastic. It was a great end to that whole storyline. I don't think you can – and just even the Flashpoint itself, what they did with it, the look and the feel and the mechanics and everything was really good. So, you know, they delivered a quality piece of content there. But I don't know. It just feels like something's lacking compared to what we had last year.
I would say – I can see where you think that because the storyline, the story content isn't as in depth as what it was. So the story, you know, the story in the Iocath, and then the two Capero and Umbara, you know, those two flashpoints, there wasn't a lot of story. It was just chase this guy and do this and then talk to a couple people on Capero and that was it. And then the flashpoint's over. So I can understand where you're saying that you feel like we're not getting as much. But for me, the grouped content that we got, I think I've been more involved in this game in this year than I was in the 2 years prior that I've been playing the game. Just because of the stuff they've been giving us. I mean, the end was strong. With the conquest changes and all that stuff, oh, that was this year. So, well, I guess I'm kind of bundling it all together because I feel like the end of this storyline is the end of the year. You know, I mark an end with an end of a year. So like the new year starts with X and that's what's coming this year. Cause it's all going to be new story moving forward.
It will be. Although, you know, when I read that first paragraph, Keith's introduction, the one thing that stood out to me is that part where he says, you know, at the end of the year, we'll introduce an exciting new storyline and multiplayer gameplay, all leading to an explosive conflict with new characters to meet and planets to explore in the new year. And that says to me, hey, 6.0, which I think they've confirmed is going to be the next expansion, is coming in probably January of 2019. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to get story and things leading into that. Obviously, they said we're going to get something in September, I believe. But as far as the expansion itself, it sounds like that is January, maybe best case December of this year. So that's still a ways down the road. So that's going to come later than I think a lot of people would have hoped. I would have liked to have seen it maybe this fall or perhaps even sooner than that, but it looks like it's going to be a while.
Well, I don't know if they've been working on it or if it's in the beginning part. I don't know. If we get it next year, if we get it in December or January, see, I think December because they release it in December and people are home for the holidays and stuff like that. So, well, I can only hope, I guess. So, let's see here. As we dive into it, it says quality of life improvements. Nick?
Want me to read this?
Yeah.
So, quality of life improvements. From our perspective, having a quality experience every time you play the game is as vital to the game as new gameplay experiences. This means we're looking at ways to enhance our game systems to make it easier to add new gameplay by advancing the utility of our internal tools, improving game servers, and augmenting tech infrastructure. We're also focusing on continuously improving gameplay features based on player suggestions to refine Galactic Command, augment the Conquest system, and improve ranked PvP.
So what that says to me is they're basically trying to make our lives better, and I like the fact that they mentioned PvP because PvP, in my opinion, needs help.
I completely agree. I'm a big quality of life guy. I you know, you can't give me enough quality of life improvements. I mean, sometimes those improvements can get to the point where they destroy the game, although I don't think we've seen that. You know, like if travel's too easy and you can get from point, you know, just magically transport to any place in the game, that's not necessarily a great thing. But I do like quality of life improvements. I think part of the problem with what they said there when he says, you know, we're looking at ways to enhance our game systems to make it easier to add new gameplay, the utility, you know, advancing the utility of our internal tools and improving game servers and tech infrastructure. All of that stuff is great, but that's all behind the scenes things that isn't necessarily content per se. And it's the stuff that you forget real quickly, like the United Forces campaign where they merged all these servers. That was a big community request that they delivered on, but, you know, looking where we are today, you know, you log into the server and you don't think, oh, wow, I'm on my new home or I'm on this big merged environment. You're just logging into the game the same way you did prior to the whole United Forces campaign. It's not that it wasn't a good thing, but it's not something that I think you actively think about and pay attention to. It's come, it's gone, and you've kind of forgotten about it.
Well, but when you go on to Fleet and you click PvP or you click, you click a pug group for a flashpoint, you're filling right away. I was on the Jedi Covenant, and if you queued for something, I mean, it took a little while to fill it. I mean, it wasn't instant like it is now. I mean, you click for a PvP match to queue for it, you're instantly in the game. On the Starforge server, for me at least, or at the times that I do it.
No, you're right. And those PvP queues are very fast these days. I mean, you know, in fact, if you were to go back to slower queues, you'd probably want to shoot yourself. But
what server were you on before the merge?
So I was on, it slipped my mind. I'm on Starforge now. I can't believe I don't remember the name of my server. So,
all right. That's okay.
It was Corellian Run initially, and then it became, I'm going to dwell on it. I'll remember it when you're doing your outro or something like that. Right. I've just drawn a complete blank as to what server I was on. Oh, my God. I'm getting old.
I've done that plenty of times with things that I should have written down prior to the podcast. Trust me, it's all good. So no worries.
So basically, they told us that they gave us an update to Galactic Starfighter, which was they didn't touch since they released. We finished the Gods from the Machine op, which, Ted, you're coming with us because you just need to see you haven't beaten the Hutt, and that took us a while. The Skyva fight is like you're in a rave party. And with so many colors flashing around, it's like strobe lights going off. It's awesome.
Yeah, I need to do Nahut, Skyva, and Isaacs, those last three. So I've done I did the first two right away, and then I haven't really revisited since then. And I'm long overdue to
You definitely have to come with us. You definitely have to come with us. But the Isaacs fight, man, that one hurts every time, man. That one, we put some blood, sweat, and tears into that. So, but other than that, they gave us the PTS where we were trying out the bosses before they came out. I mean, they did a great job. But with respects to the updates, here's what they have in the works for us over the next few months.
So it says game update 5.9.1, and it says solo fun. The content says, as we all know, Solo, a Star Wars story, hits theaters May 25th, 2018, so we're celebrating by bringing back the casino with our Nar Shaddat nightlife event and offering a variety of new cartel market items, including a sale of scoundrel-specific items. All of this would be available starting on May 22nd for 10 days, including double XP, CXP, and GSF rewards. The Nar Shaddat event will continue through midnight on June 30th, 2018. Also, don't miss your chance to get your hands on the new TF4 Rampage Speeder by being a premium member on May 31st, 2018. Popular on the black market, this industrial mining vehicle is the perfect vehicle for criminals and heroes on the run. Your new speeder will be delivered via in-game mail by June 9th.
Perfect. Oh. Well, that speeder looks pretty awesome.
It does look pretty awesome. I have no idea what it does, and it looks epic.
It just drives around, man.
Yeah, you just drive around in it. It gets you from point A to point B.
It's like a mount.
In style.
All right, so everybody, from this point forward, if you're listening to this, at Nick Vern, it's NICKVERN on Twitter, please message him, post on his page, whatever it is, and tell him to get off of his ass and play this game. Because he's going to love it once he plays it. Absolutely. I mean, we talk about it every 2 weeks. And, you know, I would have thought he would have already gotten it. But,
well, I was about to. And then my house said, no, you can't do that.
Have you played Knights of the Old Republic, the original game?
No, I should probably play that first. No, I haven't.
You don't have to. I'm just saying if you played it and liked the story behind it, though, then you'll enjoy at least giving Star Wars The Old Republic a try, even if you don't do any of the group content type stuff. I mean, I don't know if you've ever played any other MMOs like World of Warcraft or things like that, but it's that type of game. It's in that same vein.
Yeah, I haven't played any MMOs since I started playing video games like a lot more. I played MapleStory way back when, which I guess is an MMO, but that's not nearly the same type of game. It's like a 2D side-scrolling. I guess that would be an MMO because you quest with people, you know, get together, fight bosses, go on. Like I would assume be similar to an op, but it's not nearly a story driven. It's not 3D. There's definitely way less content. But
I think if you play, I think you just need to play the class story. And you know what? Maybe I'll play it with you. We'll pick one night and I'll create a new character,
co-op or something. Yeah. Or you just play at the same time.
We play it at the same time. Or I'll just bring one of my characters and I'll play the story with you and we'll just do it. Maybe that's how I'll get you into it. Because I think if you play this game, I think you're going to fall in love just because it's lightsabers, blasters. And you grind in Zelda. That's the crazy thing is you're fucking killing yourself in Zelda for an hour to kill this stupid dungeon boss.
I know.
To get some fucking potion that's going to help you, you know, get an erection so you can get the master sword. and this game is the same shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I feel like grinding stuff, yeah, but, you know, there's definitely some of that there for you. I mean, it's not, maybe you're not going to spend an hour on one thing.
Right.
But there's lots of different things that you can sort of, that are repetitive and that you would be considered grinding through.
Right. So, but other than that, the next thing was the player versus player.
Yep.
Yeah, I was just going to say one thing real quick about, when I saw, Game Update 5.9.1, I was like, yeah, that's fine. There was nothing in there that was earth-shattering or, you know, I guess I would say roadmap-worthy, per se. I mean, it was just the Return of the Nightlife event, which I like a lot, but, you know, might as well be saying that's the Return of Bounty Week or the Gree event or anything else. I do like the fact that we're getting 10 days of double XP and CXP. I think they need to do more of those events, but other than that, just a few cartel market items. So 5.9.1 is okay. I just feel like it was made out to be a little bit more grander than perhaps it really is at this point.
Yeah, I also read it with a little extra oomph than the other section.
Well, you know, it's all right. So they talked about the improvements they're going to make to PvP. The first one that stands out to me is we're going to convert more, if not all of the Warzone and arenas, to allow cross-faction grouping.
So that cross-faction meaning pub versus
Imperial. So now everybody can just mix together to make a super team.
Oh, and so it was segregated before?
Yeah. It was Imp versus Imperial.
Yeah.
Imp versus pubs with the new Warzone that they introduced back in November, the Yavin 4 Warzone. That was cross-faction, so you could be playing. You had imps and pubs mixed together, but for the most part, these war zones were separated by faction. So,
okay.
Do you have you played that? Do you do the PvP?
Occasionally, I don't do it all the time. So, I was very much against PvP. That was not my thing, and I remember I played a lot of World of Warcraft and tried PvP in World of Warcraft. Didn't like it, and for the most part, I really didn't give Star Wars The Old Republic's PvP much of a look until I was playing with a friend of mine. And Galactic Command kind of forced you to do it a little bit. I mean, it was to your benefit you were going to have a much better time gearing up if you did PvP. So that enticed me into doing PvP. And lo and behold, I found that I actually enjoy doing it. So yes, I don't play it all the time, but I will occasionally. I have no problem hopping into a war zone and just doing that for a couple hours on an evening or two. And I like the new war zone on Yavin. I thought that was a lot of fun.
I haven't done it in a while, so.
So also in the PvP changes, it says that we are adding a new arena set in a compound you've seen before. That's interesting and vague. It also says, we're developing a new Hutball war zone set in the dangerous and dizzying heights of an industrial planet.
I wonder if that's Iokath.
You know, it could be Iokath. What I would like to see is that one was Vanden, which was a planet they introduced in Knights of the Fallen Empire. It was where you raided the Gilded Star with Galt and Vett. I don't remember the exact. It was either Chapter 12 or 13, something like that. But that was a fun chapter, and that was an industrial planet that was very high up. You know, we had a lot of heights and a lot of crazy views. So I'm wondering if that's the planet that they're gonna introduce Hutball to. But it's Hutball, and nobody likes Hutball.
I like Hutball.
Do you like Hutball? I hate Hutball. I can't stand it.
I love it. It's you know what it is? It's just different. So I can't stand going into a match and just getting beat all the time. So what I like about Hutball is I'll sneak my little marauder and grab the ball and try to run to the end. I don't try to kill anybody because it's useless because I'm not going to kill anybody. So that's all I do. And as soon as the ball's dropped, I try to pick it up and just run. So I guess I'm breaking what the Marauder code is.
And you are allowed to like Hutball. I know most people don't care for it, especially the Quesh arena. I can't stand it. Every time I get that one, I'm just like,
well, it's because it's old. It's old. So what else are we getting, Nick?
So it looks like they are going to deliver a new stronghold with a beachfront view. now you ask, why does that have to do? What does that have to do with PvP? In fact, quite a bit. For the first time, we are introducing a stronghold designed around PvP, which can be tailored toward player-driven dueling, 4v4, or even 8v8 battles. We know there's a passionate audience of PvP players who run their own dueling tournaments within their strongholds, so we want to support that by making some under-the-hood improvements and by tailoring the spaces to support different styles of play. As with all strongholds, you can decorate it any way you'd like, but we're also enhancing stronghold decorations to support PvP gameplay. This means you can use decorations to hide behind and lay out obstacles, which allows the owner of the stronghold to create a huge variety of custom PvP layouts to use in battles amongst friends.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome. So you can make your own PvP arenas, basically, your stronghold.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, this is amazing. What I mean, you know, as dull as like that 5.9.1 announcement, once you got to these PvP changes, they were like, oh my, one bullet point after the other was just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And this one here where the Rishi is the stronghold and they're going to allow PvP, as you said, you're going to be able to make, you know, your own arena. I don't know if they'll have, did they say that they'll have like rule sets or anything like that? Like it would function like an actual arena. That would be really cool if you could actually have teams and winners and losers, but even beyond that, this is pretty cool.
Well, they did say that. So they said it's going to be around 4v4 or even 8v8. So
there's got to be teams.
There's going to have to be teams. Or I guess if 8 guildies get together and they get in, and they're going to have to break up into a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty sweet.
That is wild.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Also, end of season 9, who cares? I don't do ranked, and I think that's just crazy. You know, I tried ranked once, and some people were screaming at me in chat telling me I was an asshole because I wasn't doing exactly what I had to do. Well, whatever.
Yeah, I don't do ranked PvP. I liked unranked just fine.
So here's something that is intriguing is we're taking an in-depth look at our unranked PvP matchmaking system overall to see what kinds of improvements we can make to better ensure every match is a good one. I don't really see how they can fix that because, you know, even in Call of Duties and all those PvP strong games that come out, you're always going to get two people that quit the game because, you know, you're losing 10-0.
Right.
And they're like, fuck this, we're not going to win, so I'm not into it, and they quit. I don't see what they can do with that. But the queue control over which war zones and arenas, you know, that's pretty sweet. And of course they're going to be focusing on exploiters and stuff like that. They have to.
Cheating.
Yeah.
Adjusting how ranked work out. So.
And so just to complete the PvP thing, you know, if you cheat, you're an asshole.
Yeah, especially in PvP.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I don't understand it. You know, I can understand, okay, so if there's a mission terminal and you can click it and it completes the thing and you get 1,000 CXP and you click it 5 times. Okay, you exploited a little bit. People that click it 5,000 times, well, you're an asshole.
Right.
And same thing with people who cheat in PvP. Like,
yeah,
you can't win on your own.
Right, exactly.
So, Ted, you got anything else on PvP?
No, I just like a lot of these changes. I mean, I would love to see if they were to come up with a way where they, for that bullet point where they're talking about it, end up look at our unranked PvP matchmaking system, if they were to find a way to have, you know, true parity for every match. but I don't know how they do that. And I think that the big issue especially is when you queue for a random war zone and then all of a sudden there's like, you know, the Republic Bowling League or some, you know, 8-man team that's all in voice chat and they're just bowling over. You know, you just go in there like, oh God, you have no chance no matter what you do. You can't kill anybody.
I've never even heard of that. Is that a team?
I don't know if they're still around. They were, on my old server, which I still can't remember the name of. But, I'd run into that group, and you'd just see you'd see that guild tag, and you're just like, oh, I'm done. We're over. Yeah, and I wouldn't quit. You know, you just sit there and take it. But
right.
I think that's remember
that. Oh, go ahead.
No, I said that's one of the big, you know, big things I would love for them to find a way to prevent is, you know, if you have it. Sort of a pre-made group like that, could you match them up against as close to another pre-made group as possible so that they're just not steamrolling through random other players that have just come together?
Yeah, well, that's something else. Maybe if I can say one last thing about the PvP before we jump on to Beyond September, I would like them to be able to queue an 8-man ops team. So if my Death Star Troopers finishes the op at, 10:30.
Yeah.
And we want to do a quick PvP match. Let's queue for it, even if we're going after, what was the team's name, Ted?
A Republic Bowling League.
Yeah. All right. So fuck the Bowling League. We'll beat them. But, we probably will die, but that's okay. So
you got to try.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we should be able to go against them.
Right.
Or queue for 8-man.
Sure.
Rather than just be a 4-man group to queue for PvP.
So in Beyond September, it says, for our story and PvE players, you have not been forgotten, and coming this fall, along with the return of some very cool companions, big updates for guilds, will introduce a completely new storyline that will kick off a new set of challenges and adventures that will continue into the new year. That's a highlight of the things you can expect to see in the coming year. Keep your eyes on Twitch, social media, and our forums as we continue to release more details around each update. Feel free to reach out with questions. As always, we're listening and learning from you. Thanks everyone for your continued participation in Star Wars The Old Republic. Keith, lead game producer of Star Wars The Old Republic.
So, what I got out of that is I really feel like Shadow of Revan Prelude is coming. I think we're going to get a prelude to this where the rest of this year, if I can put on my tinfoil hat and speculate, I think we're going to get 2 or 3 flashpoints that are going to lead us to this next storyline. Because I don't see them not giving us any story that's leading us to this direction from now until January.
Right.
You know, with just PvP changes, I don't think people will be too happy with that.
Right.
They're going to have to give us something.
They're already complaining. Like, anyone that doesn't like PvP is already disappointed with what they're seeing for the Summer SWTOR. Although, and like I said, I'm not a big PvPer, but I love these PvP changes. And I think you're absolutely right that the story we're going to get in September is going to be along the lines of that prelude to the Shadow of Revan. So it's, going to be leading us into whatever the next big storyline is that they'll bring in 6.0.
Sure. So the speculation part of it, Ted, do you think they bring back class stories, like class specific, or do you think it's just going to be a one story again, like Knights of storyline where, no matter the class, you're just playing it? Or are they going to give us, even if it's the same path, but give us a little difference in the story?
I think the days of the class-specific stories are over. I think the best we'll see is kind of what they did in the Anathema Conspiracy, where there was a little bit of something for each class specifically tailored to them. But as far as the whole story centered around a specific class, no, I don't think they'll do that. I think best case what we could hope for is perhaps a return to a Republic-oriented storyline and an Imperial-oriented storyline, kind of what you saw in Rise of the Hutt Cartel, right? We both factions headed to Mekeb, and it was at the same time, but they each had their own individual threads. So if you played on an Imperial tune, you had a different story than when you played on the Republic tune. I think it's the best case, but we're probably going to be something like they did with Shadow of Revan, where it's just going to be in Knights of the Fallen Empire and Eternal Throne, where it's just going to be one story told from the perspective of whatever character that you've chosen to play on, and with some flavor in there based on whatever faction that you decided to side with, which they've given us two choices now. Right at the beginning of the IOcast story, they said, hey, do you want to side with the Republic or the Empire? And then they made us make that choice again at the end of the story with Anathema Conspiracy. So based on that, we'll see maybe some different outcomes and different choices. But I think we're stuck with one single story at this point. I don't think they have the resources to really branch it out too much.
Sure. Awesome, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun, and you guys are more than welcome to come on the State of the Old Republic podcast. We'll definitely have to make that happen. And real quick before we go, too, and I'll also talk to you about setting up an ops run, or even just looking to see what kind of guild you're in and so forth, because I may be looking to hook up with some folks and do more group stuff, because I've been mostly on my own lately in the game and like to get back to doing more group stuff with real people and stuff like that.
So. Great. So, so I'm in the AIE guild. You can find our guild at AIE-guild.org. And if you're in game, you can do a /CJoinAIELFO. It's looking for officer channel for the AIE guild. And then if you want to just have some fun with me, you can come over to the Bad Feelings podcast guild on Monday nights. I run Fun Feeling Mondays, and we have a lot of fun, and it's kind of open. Level 50 is a must. But other than that, we just find some fun to do. We do it 9 to 11 p.m. on Monday nights, Eastern time, of course, because any of you on the West Coast, sorry. when you're 9 o'clock at night, I'm sound asleep snoring. So come find me.
Cool.
And also, Ted, if everybody wants to listen to your podcast, where can they find it?
All right, so just the simplest way to do is go to sotorpodcast.com. That's the main site for the show, and you can find all of the episodes right there. And you can also follow me on Twitter, and it's at sotorpodcast. And that's another good way to get in touch with me and get information about the show and things that I'm up to in-game.
Great. And I am at MarcusB814 on Twitter, and Nick is
at Nick Vern on Twitter. It's NickVern.
And he doesn't play the game, so he wants all the messages to come download and play the game with us.
Yeah, I'm not convinced yet. Convince me, people.
Thanks again, Ted.
Thanks, all right. Ted.
Thank you so much, guys.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.